retcons come in all shapes and sizes. Whether you're painting over a multiversal issue, fixing a bit of backstory or world building, or sometimes just keeping things consistent, they can be necessary in a lot of cases. For the early part of Pokemon's history, they tried the best they could to avoid retcons at all costs. But after nearly 30 years of content, some things in the series had become so convoluted and tiresome that retcons were the only solution. So good morning, everybody. Good morning, it's JPR, and today let's go over some of the biggest retcons in Pokemon history and the reasons why they had to happen. To start off, why don't we explain one of the biggest, but also one of the most gradual retcons in the entire series, the Pokemon world itself. In the first couple of generations of Pokemon, whether it was through the games, anime, manga, or other material, it was made pretty clear that the world of Pokemon was not so different from our very own world. The Pokédex references locations like the Pacific Ocean, the Eiffel Tower, India, and more. Lieutenant Surge is a literal American who is implied to have fought in the Vietnam War. There's a random guy in Silphco who mentions being sent to the Tixie branch in Russia. Heck, even Kanto is a real-world region in Japan. And Johto was clearly meant to be as close to a one-to-one recreation of the Kyoto area as possible. Even in the TV show, real animals like birds, fish, mongooses, and even cows existed in the first season. Towards the end of Generation 4, when interviewed about this, then-series director Junichi Masuda claimed that he saw the Pokemon world as merely an ideal alternate version of the real world. It was meant to be real life, just with these fantastic creatures roaming around, and where issues like war, racism, and the environment didn't exist. Whoa, kinda sounds like Lysander, we might need to keep an eye on this guy. But when Masuda was interviewed on this topic again in 2013, shortly after the release of Pokemon X and Y, Masuda changed his tune a little bit. Claiming that the Pokemon world is deliberately very different from our Earth to avoid limitations from reality. So the Pokemon world went from just literally being an ideal version of Earth to its own reality where things are just loosely inspired by real life. Not so coincidentally, this is around the time the Pokemon's lore and worldbuilding began to shift a bit. While Gems 1 through 4 were very faithful to recreating the regions of Japan the best they could, with Unova it became clear that many alterations needed to be made to create a more interesting region. I mean, a game that exclusively takes place in a city? Who would ever want to buy that? And so, Gen 5 would not just serve as a temporary soft reboot with only new Pokemon, but also as a soft reboot of the entire world's lore. As starting in Black and White and going into X and Y, the Pokemon world would gradually begin to remove all of its previous references to real-life animals and areas. Funnily enough, one accidentally made it through into X and Y, where the Pokédex still says that Poliwrath is able to swim the entire Pacific Ocean. But in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, they begin just referring to it as the ocean. However, this reference did return in Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, because, well, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. But yeah, Lieutenant Surge went from the Lightning American to the Lightning Univan, Raichu being able to defeat elephants was changed to Copperajas, and so on and so forth. From about 2010 to 2013, the Pokemon world quite literally jumped universes without hardly anybody noticing. Until they literally had to spell out for us that the multiverse exists in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. Honestly, I think this was handled pretty fine. Yeah, it's weird to look back on old Pokemon episodes and see real-life fish swimming around, and some of the references to real life, especially in Gen 1, feel kind of funny and out of place, but overall, I think this was a necessary retcon. Obviously, with every region being based in a real location, consistency issues would arrive pretty quickly as the franchise gets older and older. For instance, you can't have the Eiffel Tower and the Prism Tower exist at the same time. So I think it was a good move to make everything take place very clearly in its own universe. Speaking of which, that's our next example of a pretty big retcon. When Pokemon X and Y released, we were told all through the press releases and in-game lore that Mega Evolution was a mechanic exclusive to the Kalos region due to the effects that the ultimate weapon had on its landscape. But just under a year later, Mega Evolutions were roaming around just fine in the Hoenn region. So, what gives? Did Game Freak just abandon their own lore that they had just set up in Kalos? Well, kinda. They also retconned Lucario being the first Mega Evolution by introducing Rayquaza. But with just a little bit of exposition, and by a little I mean like 2 hours worth, we could solidly piece together that the Mega Evolution timeline exists in a completely different space from the original Pokemon universe. This was probably the first very noticeable retcon in Pokemon's lore and worldbuilding. And it was definitely a divisive one. Aside from mechanical changes over the years, like Fairy-type being introduced and Pokemon spontaneously gaining abilities and new moves over time, they had been very careful to not mess with any pre-existing lore. I mean, just look at how convoluted they had to make evolution methods starting in Gen 4 of Pokemon like Magmortar and Electivire. Just to explain away any possible reasons why these Pokemon didn't exist in the first three gens. Oh, you couldn't make your Eevee evolve into Steelion in Gen 1? Well, that's because you weren't balancing on one foot with your Switch 3 upside down while eating a bowl of nails for breakfast, you freaking idiot! So, simply changing the entire course of Pokemon history with the multiverse was really the only way to explain how Mega Evolutions could continue to exist in the franchise, while somewhat keeping pre-established lore intact. Some saw this as just lazy writing and using the multiverse to explain away any logical inconsistency, while others saw it as the only way to keep a fun mechanic around while having everything relatively still make sense. If you ask me, I don't know. It's fine. I don't love it. I don't hate it. It happened 11 years ago. Before we move on from Mega Evolution, I do want to include Ash Greninja in this section, because assuming that Mega Greninja will be a reality in Pokemon Legends ZA, I don't know this for a fact, I'm merely speculating. My guess as to why Ash Greninja was retconned out of existence in Scarlet and Violet was to make room for this new form change while keeping gameplay somewhat simplistic. Though I have to say, retconning Ash Greninja out of the flashbacks in Pokemon Journeys was a little much. I don't know if I vibe with that. If I was a betting man, I'd say that Battle Bond probably won't even survive the transition to Gen 10. It might just be Mega Greninja. Anyway, if Mega Greninja doesn't happen, feel free to come back and laugh at me in the comments. This video would love the engagement. But this video, and me, would also really appreciate it if you subscribed. Most of my viewers are not subscribed, and I would love to hit 300k soon. I'd really appreciate it. Speaking of evolutions, as time has worn on, Game Freak has gradually rolled back some of those convoluted restrictions in favor of more convenient gameplay. By the time Pokemon Sun and Moon came out, it became evident that location-based evolutions, while cool in concept, were becoming a huge problem to upkeep. Between Leafeon, Glaceon, Probopass, Magnezone, and now Vikavolt and Crabominable, we needed to make sure that every single game had three or more specific locations for these Pokemon to evolve. So starting in Gen 8 with Sword and Shield, it was very simply retconned that all these Pokemon can now evolve with standard evolution stones. This is an example of a very good retcon in my book. It had been more than a decade since Pokemon like Glaceon and Magnezone had been introduced. Did we really have to care about maintaining consistency with Gens 1 through 3 anymore? No, the stone evolutions were a very welcome change in my book. Like how Feebas had to have its beauty evolution into Milotic retconned and replaced with the Prism Scale. Although, this one probably had more to do with them just retiring the contest stats in Gen 5 than actually caring about player convenience. I guess the only question I have now is, how is Runerigus going to be handled whenever it comes back? I would guess it just needs a Dusk Stone, but that was perfectly doable in Sword and Shield, so I don't know, this one just kind of falls into no man's land. Another retcon that kinda went a little unnoticed just happened in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. After nearly 20 years of cumbersome breeding mechanics, Gen 9 finally removed the need to breed while holding an incense to obtain baby Pokemon. In case you didn't know, if you wanted a Munchlax to pop out of an egg, you couldn't get it unless the parent Snorlax was holding a full incense. Otherwise, a full-grown 900-pound Snorlax was gonna pop out of that tiny egg! Because for the longest time, Game Freak was way too concerned about maintaining consistency with prior games than actual real-world logic. I get why they did it in Gen 4. They had to justify why Munchlax and other baby Pokemon didn't exist in Gen 3. But if you ask me, starting in Gen 5, or by the latest Gen 6, this restriction should have been lifted. Why are you making me work to get Xingling, bro? That's not nice. Generation 9 also internally retconned something kinda important. That being the Ultra Beasts not being labeled as legendary Pokemon anymore. In Gen 7 and Gen 8, the coding in Pokemon Home and the core games referred to the Ultra Beasts as sub-legendary Pokemon, putting them on the same categorical level as something like the legendary birds or the Regis. But as of the latest Pokemon Home update, Ultra Beasts are no longer considered legendary. It doesn't really impact anything in the game other than potentially some future VGC formats. Maybe they feel like if Ultra Beasts came back in the future, they wouldn't be as good as they were in the past, but it is a noteworthy change. Going back to Pokemon lore, there is a pretty funny inconsistency that just makes Professor Oak into an outright liar, as in the Gen 1 games, he claims to be the inventor of the Pokedex, but obviously in Old Hisui, we see that Lavinten invented the first Pokedex hundreds of years before Oak did. And obviously, Lavinten's work wasn't just lost to time, as he's still being studied in the academy in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, so presumably it would still be common knowledge that he created the Pokedex, which means the only logical explanation for this is that Oak is a fraud and a clout chaser. Maybe they could one day make an amendment to this where Oak is deemed the creator of the modern electronic Pokedex, whereas Laventin's was exclusively recorded in a journal. There's also some fun stuff like fossil Pokemon and how they were originally believed to be extinct across the Pokemon world, but now we know of several locations where they just spawn naturally. I don't know if that exactly fits the criteria for being a retcon, though. It could just be that so many fossil Pokemon were brought back to life over time that they were released back into the wild. Time does pass in the Pokemon world, obviously, so it's entirely possible. Also, no, Paradox Pokemon, especially the Ancient Beast Trio, are not retcons. If you think they are, please go watch the video I made about Paradox Pokemon a few weeks ago. I promise you it will change your perspective on life. Going back to the anime for a second, though, I do think that Ash eternally being 10 is a fun one. Some would say this isn't a true retcon because they never explicitly say that he gets older, but there are several instances throughout Hoenn and Sinnoh where they mention several years passing, particularly any time that Ash reconnects with his older Pokemon. But in Black and White, they just reaffirm that he is still 10 years old, and it has stayed that way ever since. I know, it's a cartoon, it shouldn't be taken seriously, but it is fun nonetheless. Though, more interestingly, the Black and White anime does retcon how the 6 Pokemon per trainer rule works. We hadn't seen this rule in force since Ash caught his Krabby all the way back in Season 1, and then your 7th Pokemon and beyond would just be automatically teleported to Professor Oak for safekeeping. But in Black and White, when Ash catches his 7th Unovan Pokemon, Swaddle, the ball shrinks and becomes unusable until he willingly sends another Pokemon to Professor Juniper. Obviously, we never see how this rule is logically enforced in the games, but it's cool to see 2 different interpretations through the Pokemon anime. Obviously, there are also some very basic retcons that Pokemon has also made, though, again, most of these are just mechanical changes. Like how Bite changed to a Dark-type move in Gen 2, or how Magnemite and Magneton became Steel-types, or how a dozen Pokemon turned into Fairy-types in Gen 6. Or how Pokemon could Mega Evolve in Let's Go without holding a Mega Stone. But whoa, I'm not even gonna touch Let's Go. That entire game is a retcon, and I refuse to acknowledge it. But to me, these feel less like major retcons, and more just the results of small innovations being made over time, or having to fit new game mechanics. They were necessary changes that had to happen to keep the game fresh and new. I wouldn't say they're nearly as big and complicated as the ones we discussed beforehand. So to wrap things up, I actually think that most of Pokemon's retcons have been pretty good ones. Sure, they may have taken entirely too long to implement in some cases, but I for one am glad that I don't have to keep up with a dozen incense for breeding or a whole bunch of random locations to evolve my Eevees. If anything, I think they could go farther. Like, should Dusclops need to be traded while holding a Reaper Cloth to evolve anymore? I think at this point we'd be fine with standardizing the Legends Arceus approach where you can just use the item on the Pokemon and call it a day. I mean, even Pokemon Go, which was trying to stay as faithful to the main games as it could, just eventually gave up and retconned all the Gen 4 evolution methods with the Sinnoh Stone. So it could definitely still be done in the main games. I know we sometimes dread retcons, especially when it comes to things involving story and lore, like how Mega Evolutions and Ash Greninja were handled. But I don't mind a lot of the gameplay changes. So what do you think of all these Pokemon retcons? Do you vibe with them? Do you absolutely hate them? Let me know in the comment section down below. But don't forget to leave a like on this video if you enjoyed, subscribe for more videos just like this one, and I'll see you guys next time.